Good evening. Welcome to the HIV Hour and a very happy new year from us all. From Philip. Hello, Philip.
Hello, happy new year to you too.
Oh, and from Joshy.
Hey, are you
Hey up. Hey up, Josh.
oh,
And from, of course, last but not least is Stephen. Hello.
hey, happy new year, everybody.
And Sue sends her apologies. She's off doing fantastic things that Sue does.
On
We yeah. Yeah,
holiday.
she'll be a yeah, she is, but no. She's on
That's how
holiday.
much I
She
miss
deserves a holiday, yeah, as we all do.
does.
But Josh is on holiday now, aren't you?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm up
Well,
here with family, but yeah, looking after
yeah.
my dad. So
Oh,
yes.
good, good. So
Yeah,
anyway,
but
yeah, good. So happy new year to everyone. This show is the review of all the highlights and some of the special things that we that really touched us and moved us from the 2024 episodes.
yeah.
There were some great ones, weren't there? Yeah, so how was your new year, Philip?
Mine was amazing. So I was in Athens for New Year, and then I drove up to Delphi and went skiing for 5 days. I didn't even know you could ski in Greece, but I
I
managed.
didn't.
It was incredible. So no broken bones, didn't even scratch a hire car, back safely. It was incredible. I loved it. I'd
Good.
recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, I don't think of Greece as being a winter
No,
destination, but
nobody does.
they've got mountains like Olympus. Is there actually a mountain called Mount Olympus?
Oh, I don't know. Now you put me on the spot. That wasn't the one I went up anyway.
All right. No, you didn't see any Greek gods on the way up down, did you? Or
I saw a few,
goddesses.
but they
All right.
got
And
up this
goddesses. Let's not forget the goddesses. Josh, how was your new year?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, my new year was I was DJing quite a lot, so which I'm really pleased about. I was doing DILF, which I don't know if you know what DILF is. Anybody out there? Anybody? Or shaking your head.
I've done a few.
Do it in long knee something. I don't know. No.
Dad used to like to
Google
beep
it,
beep.
Google it.
It.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. And then I had another session. So yeah, it was good. It was a long night, but I enjoyed it. This is a great opportunity, actually. So I'm chuffed about
Good. So everyone had a good time.
that. I hope so,
Quite
yeah.
a responsibility, isn't it, being a DJ on New Year's Eve? Because,
It is, yeah, about a lot. So that was
yeah.
always that main.
Saving lives. Saving lives, DJs, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I don't know if I saved them, but
The DJ saved my life.
yeah,
Yeah, we should have that song on next time,
it
maybe.
was good. Thank you, David. No, it's good. And it's New Year's Eve is always a weird one because it's some people just party, don't go to parties, and people like
Yeah.
stay as well, don't they? So, but it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I was one
Yes.
of the stay-at-home ones. Yeah.
Oh,
It's
how are
too stormy and
you doing?
yeah, I did watch the fireworks on telly and sort of wake my partner up just so we can sort of go, look at the fireworks, and then yeah, it was nice. Stephen, you went to Dilf as well, but
I
differently.
did. I went to DILF in London, so it was
Ah.
at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern. So I
Oh
met
yeah.
my friend David, and we went out and we had a little dance and a few drinks. So it was all very nice, very, very, very pleasant.
Oh,
Yeah,
good, 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 good,
good.
good. So
It's good to let off steam as well if you've had a busy year, and I think that's
it
good.
is. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Well, I'm glad we're all rested and we're all looking forward to the
What did
year
you do?
ahead. Me,
Yeah,
what
what
did
was your New Year, David?
well, I did have a couple of drinks indoors. We thought about going to Josh's thing and then it was so stormy and windy, and I'm sorry, Josh, we didn't go. But I know I was in a bit of pain, so I couldn't really cope with the crowds. But I had a nice time anyway. It's just nice to spend it in with the kittens and cats, and knowing that everybody else was out there enjoying themselves. Everyone, so I was mindfully aware of everybody else having a lovely time and being with you in spirit, even not in person.
I felt
Yeah.
you, David.
Yeah, we all felt you, David.
Oh really? Oh, thank you very much. I don't know what to say to that. I'm touched, for sure.
Good
Yeah.
song,
You can tell Sue's not here. The tone of the
David.
conversation's gone down a bit.
Yeah.
We need Mama Sue to bring us
To
back into
keep us all in
line.
order.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. Well, listeners, yeah, it was a great year last year, and we had some stories and episodes that I think we are all collectively very, very proud of, in bringing the stories to you. We really do appreciate you listening to the show and to our podcast and to downloading us. We're also really proud that we are sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies. We thank you for them to help keep the lights on here at HIV Our Towers.
Yes.
So we've each sort of chosen a highlight of the year. I mean, there are so many to choose from, aren't there? So, I mean, we did what, over 20 odd shows last year. So we do, as listeners know, it's every first and third Thursdays. Please do tell your friends. So we've also went through our soft relaunch, didn't we, with our new branding, which has been really
I was going
positive
to say,
response to that.
I said that, sorry,
Yeah,
Megan.
go
But that
on.
was one of the highlights for me, actually, was the fact that we branded and Philip came on board, which was amazing. I think that's Philip's part in a minute, but the rebranding was amazing because it just, and we got a website and stuff. So it's just the next level is this next step for the HIV hour, isn't it?
It
This
is, yeah, because we've been, you know, beavering away in the background for a number of years now, and it's actually not actually standing up in public and saying, this is us, come on, listen, we've just been in the studio, no, but now we've got flyers and we can be present at venues and at events with our new lovely t-shirts, which we're all wearing now. The great logo, which I think really it looks like two H's, doesn't it, for HIV Hour, but it looks like the waveform as well. And if anybody wants a flyer, we've got a few we can hand out. We've got loads of flyers. If you've got flyers for your organisation or your hospital waiting room or whatever, then please do let us know and we can post them to you. So, who wants to go first
I'll
with
kick off
their highlights? Go on then.
since I'm the new kid on the block.
You
I think
are,
it's an incredible year for me, obviously joining the team and coming down to the studio. But yeah, I think what I've loved most of all is the interviews. So obviously, working with the Terence Higgins Trust, I get to meet some fabulous people. And I think what this show helps me to do is amplify their voices and tell their stories. So I've loved finding people to interview and putting these together. I think one of my favorite ones of the year has to be the one with Nathaniel J. Hall. And we spoke about his documentary Bug Chasers, which is available on the Channel 4 YouTube website. But yeah, it was fascinating to obviously, as a follow-up to the documentary, to discuss how it was received and all. It was kind of like a making of the documentary, just kind of getting all the secrets behind it. And he's brilliant, so it was really kind of good to get that. But I think anybody that I've interviewed, they're so generous to kind of give up their time, and it has such courage to tell their stories in such a open field. Like anybody that confides in you and tells you something privately is remarkable, but to be able to do it in the public forum, I really, really have so much respect and admiration and appreciation for. So yeah, it's an honor to like speak to anybody. But yeah, in particular, Nathaniel's interview stood out.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy, isn't he? And I just know from just remembering It's a Sin, which I think is the anniversary. It came out in February, didn't it? A couple of years ago now. And that was groundbreaking in itself. But to cover bug chasing, I mean, I thought bug chasing was a thing of the past, but no. Let's have a quick listen to a highlight from that interview.
This is the world of Radio Reverb.
Talking about something or trying to understand something doesn't mean you can condemn or condone it. You're just trying to understand, and that's really what where I land in the documentary of going, I think it's the right thing to do, because looking away when potentially harm is taking place, it makes me feel more uncomfortable than kind of looking at it.
Exactly. And just touching on the criminality of this, is it illegal to knowingly give someone HIV? And could these people, these gifters, be prosecuted? Did you look into that?
How the where the law stands on transmission of HIV, there is a specific law on reckless transmission of HIV, intentional reckless transmission in the UK. It's a law that's outdated, and I've actually put my name to a number of campaigns to get rid of. I think it came in the late 80s, early 90s, and it essentially puts all of us living with HIV at risk, and is unnecessary because it's also very hard to, in a court of law, to prove when transmission took place, when that actual virus went from one person to another, and also it's very hard to prove that it was intentional. You know, it's just fraught with difficulty, and it then potentially puts all of us at risk of someone accusing us of that and having to be dragged through that awful experience. There is more legislation since that's come in since then. So the 2003 Sexual Offences Act is a much broader and deeper look at a range of sexual offences around consent.
Radio Reverb.
I probed into its mysteries. Every clue told me a different story. Radio Reverb.
Just yeah, so it's not a thing of the past, is it? It still happens to this day. Shocking.
Yeah, exactly.
Needs to be told as well, these stories. I was going to say, actually, Philip, is Nathaniel going to do a sequel to that, or what's his plans to
Yeah, he hopes to. I mean, this is the thing. These documentaries are quite hard to get commissioned because they obviously, a lot of the broadcasters really like to look at the audience figures and who watches it and whether there is an audience for it, but which I believe there is. But he, alongside Dan Harry, who I was also lucky enough to interview, he did a documentary for the BBC about PrEP. And the pair of them really enjoyed telling these stories and finding this information out and relaying it to us. So I think both of them are working away trying to get more documentaries made because it is important. These stories need to be told and they're fascinating. Like I was glued to that documentary. I had some experience and prior knowledge, but just seeing people discuss it quite candidly was quite revealing, quite shocking in places.
Oh, I think all credit.
I love a good documentary.
Shall we have a song? Let's have a song.
Yay! I've got a
Let's
perfect one I'd
go
love
on
to
then.
share with you.
Yeah, please do.
So I was obsessed. I saw the new Robbie Williams biopic where he's played by a CGI monkey, but it was incredible. And I didn't realize. So this is a new song that was written by Robbie. I think it's in the end of the film. I don't remember during the film. I think it's played in the credits. But I heard it while I was on holiday, and it's just beautiful. The lyrics are incredible. The film's remarkable. If you get a chance to see it, you won't be disappointed. So yeah. So this is Forbidden Road from Robbie Williams.
Welcome back to the HRBR. It's on 97.2 FM, radioreverb.com, and online on your favorite social platform. That was a great track, actually.
It
Robbie
was, wasn't he?
Williams.
He is an entertainer, isn't he? He really is.
He is, yeah.
I know. I mean, I think. Does he look like? Can you see it's Robbie Williams, or it's just the voice? Is it, have they made it look a little bit about Robbie
They
Williams?
used a different actor, so they've stitched. I think his eyes are Robbie's, but it's
Oh, really?
actually the movement is another actor, which they used in one of those suits, a kind of motion capture suits. So it's amalgamation of the two. Because I don't think Robbie can even move like he used to, so they used a younger actor. But it is remarkable. You kind of forget that it's a monkey, and you just get absorbed into this world, and he's so he draws you in. It's brilliant. So
I'm about to go watch that, actually. So Stephen, you have your year's been amazing, hasn't it, with Shadow Dreamer? How's it going, and how do you feel about it last year?
Yeah, last year was crazy. It was very much consumed by me taking my one man show back on the road again, Shadow Dreamer, which was amazing because I didn't know, I didn't feel in myself that my story was still relevant. And I know that seems crazy, but I've been proved wrong that it really is. Our stories are so necessary and so vital, and it's been great to be able to get up and share that story again with so many people that don't know my story, and also get the outpouring of really important conversations, just talking through other people's lives and talking through mine, and so it's been amazing, Josh. It's yeah, and I've got London coming up again next month, as well as Manchester, and I'm really looking forward to going to Manchester because I love
Oh, yeah, be a good crowd.
don't get to go enough. So I catch up with Nathaniel while I'm there, and so it'll be nice to be there. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh,
Could you
right.
just, sorry, just say to our listeners quickly what your play's about? Just if people are interested, obviously, to go and.
Yeah, so my story is my story basically. It's my life as somebody who has survived things and come through things and faced things that maybe not everybody has faced, but actually more people have faced them than you realize, you know. There's comedy, there's happy, there's sad, there's song. So there's a real mix of everything, but it's a life story, and the tagline is a story of survival, determination, and belief, and it feels like that every time I do it, so yeah.
Yeah. So you're still on the road, aren't you?
Still on the
So to
road.
speak. Yeah. So there are new venues being sort of released or not released, but you're telling people about new venues coming up, aren't you? And how can people find out information?
So if you go to the website, it's www.shadowdreamer.co.uk, and that gives you more information on the show, where the tickets are on sale, all those kind of things. So anything you need to know, just check that out.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all seen it, haven't we? So we've all seen it, but we recommend it, don't we? I think
We
go
do
again.
indeed. I mean, I've heard Stephen speak at Zero Stigma Day. This was a couple of years ago now in Brighton, wasn't it? And I've heard a bit of your story then. And obviously, as presenters, we've been sort of getting to know things a little bit. Actually, to see it as a in a show as a performance, and to see all your skills in storytelling and some bits of it makes you want to laugh, makes you want to cry. It's very powerful. Thank you for sharing that
No,
with us,
yeah.
and I do recommend anybody to go and see it if it's in your area. Please do, because it's important to know. Even people that know about HIV, we forget sometimes about the journeys that we've had and how things have happened, don't we?
Yeah, and that there's more to us than HIV. Despite the fact that we come on and talk every 2 weeks about it, there is so much more. Yes, so that was me. But besides all that,
Sorry.
I really enjoyed. I got a chance to tap into the show as often as I could last year. So, and on an episode that stood out for me was the one that Josh and Sue did with Alexa, Alexia, David. And she did. She came on to tell her story about. It was. I suppose some people would look at it as controversial, but it. Sorry, my Alexa's just talking to me now because she's heard me say that. Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
across the
but
whole
you know,
country, yeah, people are doing it. Yeah.
but it was just. It's. I suppose. It's, yeah, as I say, some people could say it was controversial because Alexia talks about. Taking a break from her medication, and she hasn't been on medication for a number of years, and it was really interesting, to hear that side of her story, but also to hear her story about survival and how her life had, her life didn't go the way that she had planned, and things like that. So, I found it a really powerful one, and she's happy and she's healthy now, and she's working for Terence Higgins Trust. So it was that, yeah, I just found after listening to that episode, I was just like, wow, people.
Inspiring, wasn't it? I think very
Yeah. Should
inspiring.
we have a brief sort of extract just to have a listen? Yeah.
Sounds
Here we are.
good.
So this is Sue and Josh talking to Alexia Davis.
Yes.
This is the world of Radio Reverb.
What would you say to someone that's just been recently diagnosed?
I would say grieve. The first thing you need to do is grieve. Grieve for everything that you've lost, your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations, and go through the motions of grief. Mm-hmm. Then step into your authentic self. Go heal your inner child, love yourself, and from there you will know. Your soul will know what journey it needs to take, be it medication, be it not. Mm-hmm. But either way, you have to go through those emotions to actually get your mental health in a place where you can accept mm-hmm. what has happened. The fact that there are so many support services out there which weren't there. I didn't fit the criteria in the 90s. I wasn't gay. Yeah. There was very little known about women.
Yeah,
exactly. It was very, very tough. And I hid in the shadows. And as I say, my journey, I've only reached out couple of years ago. So for 30 odd years, I traveled the path alone. And it was tough. And it was, overthinking and judgmental and mm-hmm. self-critical and all of that. And I didn't learn to grieve. And I actually found a book called Healing Grief by James Van Praagh. And I recommend it to everybody. And it deals with everything from losing your marriage, losing a friend, losing a child. And I read that book from cover to cover, and I embraced all of the emotions that I had pent up inside of me.
This is the world of Radio Reverb.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? Just because she's obviously gone through a lot of challenges in her life, and she's got a daughter, and that's her focus as well. So she's doing things very holistically, isn't she? And I think
It's remarkable and brilliant to see that she's thriving and is really well. Because I've seen people in the past. I saw a documentary years ago about chemsex, where they had these deniers who, when they were given a diagnosis, refused to take the medication because they just didn't believe that they had HIV. They couldn't accept it, which is concerning because goes deeper. That kind of goes into their mental health, but. This story is really inspirational. It's kind of like to see someone doing well. And like you say, she works with the Terence Higgins Trust, which is part of my family. So yeah, it's great to see.
That's where I met her, actually. It was I was doing the Working Skills Programme for THT, which is an amazing programme, actually, if anyone's interested in it. And she was she is the mentor there, and that's how I got to know her story. And I thought, actually, she'd be great on the show with her story. And she was so happy that she came on the show. She kept texting me so much. She was so pleased that she came and she could tell her story. And I think that's across the board, isn't it, with a lot of...
It is.
It's just like, they just like the fact that they can express their story and tell their story. And I think I got that from Alexei.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think we can all be proud of, all of us included, that, we do give people the opportunity to talk about their situation, their experiences, and so that other people can learn from that, or just to realise that they're not the only person that has gone through a particular struggle or challenge in their lives. So we do love listening to you, listeners. We listen to you as well as just broadcasting. So you can get in touch with us and suggest any ideas for the future shows. You can email us on info@hivhour.org.uk, and you can actually see some photographs of us and more details about us on our website, which is www.hivhour.org.uk. Go on.
Sorry, we were talking about what the people called who can't have HIV, who have HIV but they don't get ill with it and they don't need to take.
Oh, so the it's either elite or super controllers. Elite controllers. It sounds almost like the Thomas the Tank Engine thing, doesn't it? But it's not.
Yeah, but it'd be good to. But yes. I was asking the question of how that happens and how they can. How that happens for them, and it's amazing, really. But it'd be good to get someone on. Scientifically, like a doctor and something who's an elite controller.
I don't know but the answer is, I mean, I'll have to get a boffin in or a research scientist to talk to us about it, I think. Obviously it hides in reservoirs, doesn't it, the HIV, and I think sometimes that's why it's difficult to get the drugs to these reservoirs. There's certain parts of the body where it plays hide and seek, doesn't it? I think the elite controllers, the HIV just doesn't hide very well, and the body fights it quite naturally. Because we're all fighting the virus from the moment that we first encounter it, aren't we? I think sometimes I sometimes think that's maybe sometimes why I feel a bit tired. Some of the times when I don't have a normal reason for it, this might be just, I don't know. I'm just.
I think on an HIV day. I don't know why. Sometimes I feel like that. I'm having a bit.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I bet. Do you know what? Apart from talking about it for work and activism and stuff, I don't actually think about my HIV very much at all. At all. It's just. It's just it's a fascinating subject, and all the different things that are about it, all the different communities it affects, and I love hearing about the differences between one community's response and another, and one person's response to another, and how different charities work together. And that's what our show highlights, isn't it? And tells Absolutely. The audience about. Right.
Yeah.
And plus, don't forget, we have great music too, all chosen by our guests and our studio presenters. So. Joshy, you've chosen a song, haven't you?
Oh, is it me?
Yeah, it's you.
Oh, it's me. Well, I'll tell you, because I'm up north at the moment. Obviously, I said earlier that I just needed something to cheer me up a little bit, because it's up north. It's not the reason why I'm being up north. It's not grim. It's just, yeah.
It's mid-January, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's about before. So it's just, yeah. So anyway, I was listening to Girls Aloud, and I love Girls Aloud. I'm sorry to say, but I'm not sorry to say, I'm actually quite happy to say.
Be proud. I'm proud of Aloud. Yeah.
So I was listening to them and I thought, oh, this would be a good track to play. So Every Now and Then by Girls Aloud.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 every first and third Thursday. That was lovely to hear a bit of Girls Aloud. They were my highlight of 2024. They played at Brighton Pride along with Mika and they were both incredible. They really kind of got the crowd going. I was just back from New York, so I was a little bit hungover, but yeah, they pushed me through. But yeah, good choice there, Josh. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I love Girls Aloud. So I mean, the music's so well produced.
Yeah,
and I just I love them.
Oh, sure, they love you.
What else was your highlight, Josh, of the year 2024 on the HIV Hour?
There's a lot for me. I mean, what Stephen said, Lexi Davis one, but the one that really got to me was Tony and Pank, who've been in prison and their challenges.
Yes.
In prison. I just thought it was amazing. And they were very open and very honest. And I think having them two together was a really good thing to do, because they both experienced different things but similar kind of situations, I think. And it was great to have them, or Pank, to interview Tony. And that was my highlight, to be honest. So I don't know about you, what you thought of it.
I loved it. Like I said, I mean, Stephen and I know Pank very well. We both do talks with him in prisons. And I've met prisoners. And Tony's story was remarkable, because I have met people and I've been in prisons, but I've never heard an account quite like his. So should we take a listen to it?
Radio Reverb. 97.2.
Whilst I was in prison, I was denied my medication on numerous occasions of quite long periods.
Your HIV medication?
Yes. And I've been on medication now for 17 years. Mm. And I've not had too many problems, but now I've developed quite a lot of health issues now. Right. Because I had lots of breaks from my medication over long periods. And I've just found that difficult to deal with. I didn't realise, I know we've made lots of advances with our civil rights in this country, but when you're going into the authorities, which are government authorities, they don't uphold any of those rights. And that's really had quite an impact on my life now.
As prisoners, the state are responsible for your care.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Tony, can I ask, how long ago did this happen?
4 years ago.
Right. So it was relatively recently. You know,
yes, that's right. Happened. Yeah.
Were there any others there that were living with HIV that you knew of?
Yes, on my wing there was, on the sex offenders wing, there was probably about six or seven of us that were gay. And of those, I know of two that were HIV positive as well.
And did they have the same experiences?
Exactly the same experiences, yeah. And I've actually met the person that covered the HIV in that prison. They work for the NHS, and he said, I used to put you down every week to come and see me, or whenever I was in the prison to do bloods or to get your medication, you'd be on the list, I'd give it to the officers. And he said, some days I'd be there all day and they wouldn't bring anybody to me. Whether that was because we were on that wing and they had issues with that, or they couldn't be bothered, or they were short-staffed, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that's what would happen, you would miss your medication.
Did they not ask why they weren't bringing them to you?
Yeah, he used to ask all the time, and they'd just fob you off with excuses.
Yeah.
Radio Reverb.
Making music night and day.
Oh, 97.2 FM.
It's just so interesting, isn't it? Listening to
yeah.
But we don't, being outside and not knowing what it's like in prison, it's we can't, I can't imagine what it must feel like to be HIV and to be in that situation. So,
yeah. And I know, and that's it. Like I say, I'm very lucky to be able to go into prisons as part of THT and to meet prisoners. And I was surprised actually, because the ones I met are very clued up. They all get tested as they go in. If they don't like needles, they can opt for a mouth swap. So everybody knows their status, and the information they have is immense. They actually, we thought we were going to go in there and have to really educate and inform them, but they didn't. And it was such a privilege to kind of speak to prisoners, because they just wanted someone to talk to. A lot of them have a lot of problems that they're dealing with, and it was good to just kind of hear them and be there for them. I remember talking to another speaker who was a bit worried, a bit apprehensive about going into a prison. And it is daunting the first time you go, because obviously you're walking through the prison and they're locking the gates behind you and locking you in with them. But they're lovely people, and some of them, my heart went out to them, because they really struggle and they're in there for whatever reason. But that time that you're with them, they just want someone to talk to and confide in and listen. So again, yeah, it's a real privilege to be able to do that as part of Positive Voices. And I know, Stephen, you had a similar experience, didn't you?
Yeah, so I went, it wasn't with Terence Higgins Trust, it was actually 14 years ago when I first did Shadow Dreamer. I was invited by Rikers Island in New York to go and speak to some of their prisoners. And as you say, Phil, you know, when I first went in, I had that nerves, the noise of the doors, the keys, all those kind of, you know, things that were, you know, can freak you out a bit. But sitting down in front of this group of guys and talking, and their questions and their responses, and just the realization for some of them, you know, they don't talk about what their crime is, but they kind of, you know, would say, oh, well, I understand that and I've done that, or you know something along those lines. And they would say, I know that what I've done has really affected somebody. So in that sense, I was like, okay, so this is doing something. And even then, 14 years ago, Phil, I suppose HIV was still in the news more, you know, so we were just coming out of that, you know, that terrible time of the 80s and 90s, you know. And so they were aware of it, but it was a lot less spoken about. So it's great to hear now that that they're so clued up on HIV and everything. So
I think when you go into, you know, you go into prison for whatever you've done, so you've got that kind of, and you're in that environment, but then to go with HIV as well, so
there's sort of stigma. I hate, you know, to mention the S word, stigma everywhere, isn't it?
Well, that's what I loved about
prisoner. Yeah.
Yeah, that's also what I loved about Tony's story, where you actually heard an account of the community kind of getting behind him. The other prisoners were the ones that were supporting him. It was actually the guards that he was getting trouble from. So that's kind of nice in a way to know that, kind of, again, if you've got anybody that's, you know, that's in prison, you're worrying about them, to know that they're actually going to be quite safe, because they've got each other's backs. They're looking out for each other, which is exactly what we do in the HIV community.
Yeah, exactly. Is Positive Voices more prisons then, Stephen? Do you know?
So I know it's something that they are definitely keen on, you know, carrying on doing. And their connection with Pank and his connection with the prisons has been a great way in, you know, it's been a great way to get their foot in the door. So I'm sure that's something that they will be carrying on this year and on, hopefully. So
anyway, we wish Stephen and Pank all the best in their activism and in helping to make positive change for prisons and the prison service as well. Stephen,
yes.
You've got a song for us. What's your song of choice? Go on.
This is a little one that I heard over New Year, and I was like, oh, this reminds me of being young and free and single and out there, you know, having fun. And it is Heaven by Avicii.
Oh, fabulous.
Good choice.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, DAB, and on podcast as well. So, David, it's now your turn to tell us your highlight from 2024 shows.
Yeah, so my highlight actually is actually covers two shows, and we had two people on each show, and it was the lovely Rob James and the lovely Mark Ward, and they were both directly affected by the infected blood scandal. And to be honest with you, it's not often that I get like this, but it made me speechless. I stopped waffling. I was just absolutely shocked. Yeah, it was that impactful. What they went through, and the sheer cruelty of the people that were responsible for their care. You know, these two young boys, as they were then at the time, were knowingly infected with infected blood products, were given several diseases. HIV is just one of them. The most recent interview we had was just before Christmas, wasn't it? We had Mark Ward on the show with me and interviewed by myself and Josh. And he'd just written a book called Bleeding Fabulous. So he was talking about his experience as a gay hemophiliac, and Rob talked about his experiences as a heterosexual hemophiliac. But the actual experience they received from the healthcare service was the same, but shockingly negligent. I'm just going to play you a quick extract from
Radio Reverb,
making music night and day.
7.2 FM.
I talk about AIDS quite a lot because actually HIV had a different name when I was diagnosed.
Right.
And yes. It gets confusing
what were you diagnosed with?
I was diagnosed with HTLV-3,
yeah.
Which anyone who was diagnosed back then will know what it is, and everybody else what on earth is that? I think there's a new HTLV-3 now because there was an HTLV-1 and 2 at the time.
So it's a family of retroviruses, isn't it?
Yes. It's a human T-cell lymphotrophic virus.
That's what it stands for.
And in France, they called it LAV. And then there was a battle between France and the US about what this was going to be called.
Right.
And they had an agreement where they could just change a new name, HIV.
Right.
So that made it simpler.
So obviously you got your diagnosis, and obviously the question started coming on how come?
Not really then, because first of all, there was just the shock of it. And then there is the awareness that we knew immediately where it had come from my treatment. The treatment at the time, the hemophilia treatment to make factor VIII was a concentrate of factor VIII and a few other things, but it came from donated blood. You get loads of people to donate blood.
Exactly, yeah.
And because you've got 20 to 50,000 pints of blood all mixed together, and then you take out the bit that treats hemophilia, you've got the diseases of 20 to 50,000 people.
Yeah. So basically it was contaminated blood.
Yeah, the blood was contaminated. Right. It wasn't just with HIV, as we'll find out later, but... Mm-hmm. It was also, our doctors had been telling us for a couple of years, it's not going to happen. You're not going to get AIDS through this treatment. The treatment is okay. Mm. So when 1,200 of us did get it, we already knew, it obviously came from that, because you just spent a whole year telling us it's not going to happen. Mm. Stop worrying.
Mm. Radio Reverb.
97.2. I mean, the arrogance of it was... It was shocking. A haematologist who wrote to the minister complaining that the research he was doing on chimpanzees was now being hindered because the animals keep dying. And this was to do with hepatitis C. So the response back was, well, haemophiliacs are cheaper than chimpanzees. So when you actually get deemed to be the language around us has always been horrific. I mean, the life of a haemophiliac is an expensive one to maintain. We would only become ill-educated cripples if we really funded them. The cheaper than chimpanzee. It just it goes on. There was complete and utter contempt and almost like, well, we can do whatever we want and you should be grateful. Even growing up in the 70s, hepatitis B was rife. And we were just told, well, it's just something you just have to get used to. It's part of the treatment.
Radio Reverb.
I probed into its mysteries. Every clue told me a different story. Radio Reverb.
It's just so shocking, isn't it, as you say, to hear it. And it's gone on for so long for them. Like, it must be like, oh, stressful.
I don't know. They've got some money coming up, as compensation coming up soon. The government announced a huge amount of compensation, but in no way does it cover the damages. It's gone through. And I think what they want is justice. And nobody's gone to prison for this. And the successive governments have kicked it down the road and we'll deal with it later. I don't know if it's because they're waiting for the people involved to get to retirement or to die, but literally amongst the victims, and it's horrible to describe them as victims, but that's what they are, they're dying at the rate of like 2.5 a week. Over 30,000 people were infected with infected blood products. It affected all sorts of people from the community. Anita Roddick, the founder of the Body Shop, was one of the people who died as an indirect result of having a blood transfusion while going through labour, but was given infected blood product. Shocking.
I was so impressed by Mark's story and his bravery. He had such a remarkable kind of sense of not really being angry about it, just kind of not acceptance, but just this resistance and resilience to kind of overcome and face what's happened to him, but then have that power to kind of forge forward. And I think Stephen is very similar in that nature. When you hear about his story, it's just that ability to kind of, look ahead and look forward and to not blame anybody particularly, although they are kind of fined and a certain, but I find that an incredible human nature.
Well, listeners, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a fantastic 2024, and now we're in 2025. We've got some great things to look forward to, haven't we?
Absolutely. Good guests coming in if you want to come on as well.
So please do email us at info@hivhour.org.uk. And we're on social media as well, but speaking of that, we do have a little bit of community news. So we are looking for somebody that loves social media so much that they would love to help us run our social media. I don't understand it all.
Job in itself, and I think we're looking for someone from university, maybe wants to experience being on the radio show and helping, knowing what they might be on a media course or something, might they doing it, or a social media course, who might want to get some experience. So
even if it's just social media is your thing, if you love Xing or Twittering or waffling or tic-tacking, if you know your tic-tacs from your TikTok, then you're the person for us. Obviously, this is a voluntary position, so if people would like to help volunteer for us, we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to join us with our team. With being the new year, some people are having a good clear out. I know there's a spring cleaning happening soon in my house, certainly, and I've taken all the Christmas decorations down and realised how dusty it is and stuff. So I have some things I want to take to the charity shop. So I know various charities have charity shops. I know the Sussex Beacon down here has two charity shops. So please donate any goods and unwanted Christmas presents to them. We help raise essential funds.
And if you're in London, we have one for the Terence Higgins Trust near Victoria. So you can find it there.
Good to give back, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Give away what you don't want, isn't it?
And you can
give those naff gifts.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody might be looking for just those things. So
exactly.
What
is it they say? One man's treasure is another something.
Man's trash.
Yeah, something like that.
The other way around.
Or there's brass.
there's brass. Yeah.
So do bring the northern thing in.
Yeah.
Hey.
Thank you ever so much for that.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to see you, and have a great new year and 2025, and we'll be back in a few weeks, won't we? Because I think we've got John Jackie's coming. Is that, I hope I got that right. Yes. Jack, who's coming in for his interview, because he does a lot for HIV, isn't he? He's a great advocate to be members of.
He is, and yes.
So he's going to come in next year. But I think we're going to be in the studio then, aren't we? I think.
I hope so, yeah. And I know we've got an interview to look forward to from the CEO of the food chain, which Philip has already done.
Oh, yeah.
It's today, but yeah. We look
Anna
forward
Brewster.
To
yeah, Anna Brewster. Great speaking to her.
Great, great. And
that's it, I think.
Yeah.
What's the track we're finishing on? I think it's my second choice.
But we're going to have something a bit middle of the roadish. Because that's what the group is called, and it is Chirpy Chirpy Cheep Cheep.
Can't believe you're playing. Anyway, nice to see you all.
Bye.
Happy New Year. Bye.